Let's pray. Lord, open your word now to us and open our hearts to you. We do want very much that you will touch us. We need you to touch us. We need you to fill us. We need you to give us strength and peace and joy, wisdom. But even more, as we pray that you would fill us, we pray that we might bless you. This is your day. This is way more about you than us. May you enjoy. Enjoy our worship. Enjoy our adoration. We love you, Lord. Thanks for being our Father. In your name, amen. We'll look at a number of verses. I can give you a heads up on a couple of them. Most of them you can just sit back and I'll be going too fast from one to the other. But if you do want to turn to Romans 7, that'll be the first set. Rick Eichhorn of Centerville, Ohio, had a dad who was a die-hard college football fan. So we're talking Buckeye country. As his life wound down, and he is surrounded by his children in the hospital, the doctor asked him if he wanted to be resuscitated if his heart should stop. And Rick's father shook his head and said, no, let me go. Just let me go. So Rick and his sisters then, you know, hearing this, stood in silence, kind of taking in the gravity of the situation. And then his dad said, unless Ohio State is on the TV, then bring me back. Isn't that how we are? Isn't that how we are? At Westview and Big Patch, during this Lenten season, we have been talking about things that can weigh us down and hinder us from running our race. Things that maybe we need to let go of. We've been talking about things like expectations, disappointments, hurts, fears. Today, I want to continue on. Let's talk about our desires. Some of which conflict with each other. But let's talk about our desires. They sometimes can weigh us down too, can't they? And let's acknowledge that we, like all people, like Rick's dad, are a mess of desires. We want this, we desire this, we want this and desire that. These, as I said, often conflict. Some of our desires are good, some are not so good. Some are downright evil. Paul touched upon this in Romans 7. He talked about his own divided heart. And of course, Paul was a person who followed Christ more closely than probably most of us ever will. And yet he said in Romans 7:15, he himself said, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Can you relate? We all have our good intentions, our good morals, our good standards, and we all don't quite live up to any of them, do we? Because our hearts are divided. Paul said down in 7:18, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Because we are created in the image of God, we all have the desire deep down inside of us to do what is right. It's the way we were created. We want to do what is right, a part of us. And then because we're fallen, we want what we want. We want our own way. And so these things war within us. Paul talks about this war in Romans 7:23. The desire to do what is right, the desire to have our own way and do what we want, they war within each other. And because of that, we often do the very thing that we hate. When I was in seventh grade, just to illustrate how divided our hearts can be and how they can lead us astray, when I was in seventh grade, I hung around with two people who shoplifted. Not the smartest thing to do, but I did. One day I decided I was going to give it a whirl. I was going to shoplift. I wanted one of those little batteries for those, remember those old transistor radios? Now I'm dating myself. Part of me didn't want to do it. Part of me hated even the thought of it. Part of me wanted to do what was right. A part of me wanted to do what would make my parents proud, what would make God proud. Another part of me also didn't want my friends to think I was a sissy. And another part of me really wanted that battery for my transistor radio. And unfortunately, I acted like a weasel and I did the very thing that I hated. I stole the battery. Do you see how our divided hearts can weigh us down and hinder us from running the race set before us? On a less serious note, maybe you can relate with this again about how our hearts are divided. 6:30 is my time to rise, but I'm seldom bright of eye. Part of me says, look alive. Another part says, why? Our hearts are divided. And unfortunately, our desires, especially our selfish desires, unfortunately, they can weigh us down and definitely hinder us from running the race that God has set before us. Now, here's where I'm going to look at a number of scriptures. Don't even try to keep up. Just go ahead and listen. So let's look at some of the ways that our desires can hinder us from running our race. Proverbs 21:25. Man's desires for an easy life can weigh him down. So Proverbs 21:25, the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. If you want an easy life, we never talk about being lazy. We don't talk about that in the church. But if you want to be lazy, if that's what you desire, it'll weigh you down. It'll hinder you from running your race. Also, man's desire to possess what someone else has often weighs him down. How often does the green-eyed monster crop its head up in our life? We see something that someone else has and we go, ooh, wish I had that. Deuteronomy 5:21, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And when we do, it weighs us down. And sometimes these desires so grip us, we do horrific things. James 4:2, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. And of course, you do not have. Why? Because you do not ask. And giving in to these uncontrolled desires that we have, it kills a person spiritually. James 1:14-15, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And when we give in to these desires, it often means that we are acting a little bit more like an animal than a human being. Psalm 10:3, for the wicked boast of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. And one more, these desires often can choke out God's word and the work that God is doing in our life. Mark 4:18-19. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Our desires can definitely weigh us down, can't they? And hinder us from running the race that God has set before us. So, how do we make sure that our desires don't weigh us down? Or how do we free ourselves from that load if they are weighing us down? Two things. First, if you want to turn to Psalm 37, that's what will be next. But first, as Solomon told us, we must guard our heart. We must guard our heart. Solomon said in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. What we feel, what we desire, the things that we want, the things that are in our heart affects our whole life. And so Solomon said, guard your heart. guard it because it affects everything. If you don't want to be weighed down by your desires, then you need to train yourself to desire God above all else. If we don't want to be weighed down by our desires, we need to train ourselves to desire God above all else. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. If we delight in God or take pleasure in him, as it can be translated, what are we promised? That he will give us the desires of our heart, the true desires, the deepest desires, our real desires. He will fulfill those for us. Think about people in the world. Think of the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours that people spend chasing after their wants and desires. And in the end, they never find the fulfillment they're looking for. It's never enough. They always need more. It's like a drug. The effect wears off and they need more. We're told that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the true desires of our heart. We will find satisfaction. We will be fulfilled. I find that very liberating. I don't have to chase after my desires, my deepest desires. I just need to chase after God. And if I chase after him, he'll take care of all this other stuff. I can trust him to do that. The fact is, we were created for God and to live in a father-child relationship with him. Life works when we live for God and live in a father-child relationship with him. When we don't, it becomes tiresome. We grow weary. We begin to thirst and hunger for we don't even know what. So once again, if we do not want to be weighed down by our own desires, then we cannot put the cart in front of the horse. We cannot put our desires ahead of our desire for God. It's as simple as that. And notice that this is something we are told to just do. The verse says, delight yourself in the Lord. Just do it. It doesn't say, wait until you feel delightful, wait until you're all excited about God, then delight in him. It says, do it. Delight yourself in the Lord. Just do it. And indeed, when we think about who God is, how can we not delight in him? How can we not? I think of who God is, and I often meditate on this. I think of who God is and how the scripture says he holds the whole universe in his hands. All of the universe, I can't even comprehend the whole universe. And he holds it in his hand and counts it as dust. And I'm one of those tiny, tiny specks of dust. There's me. I'm a piece of dust on a piece of dust. And God's got it all in his hands. How do I even begin to understand someone so great and glorious? But then when I think of someone as great and glorious as God, that he would die for me? That he would die for a speck on a dust speck on a dust speck? Amazing. Amazing. And that he would choose to adopt me? Wow. Put it in our terms. Would you adopt a grubworm? Take it into your house and call it a son or a daughter? Stupid. It's ludicrous, right? Who would adopt a grubworm? And yet the distance between us and a grubworm is not as great as the distance between us and God. When you think about it, isn't it amazing that God would die for you and me and adopt you and me as his children? How can we not delight in God and his grace? And yet, as I said, we need to train ourselves to do it, don't we? I totally agree with David. David said in Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. In the deepest parts of my heart, that's exactly what I feel. Whom have I in heaven but you. And there's nothing on earth I desire besides you. Amen and amen and amen. So why do we have to train ourselves to delight in the Lord? Because we're easily distracted, right? Easily distracted. Perhaps you've heard of this one. St. Bernard of Clairvaux was walking and he met a peasant and he asked the man if he loved God. And the peasant says, "Yes, Father, I do." And then St. Bernard asked the man, "Do you pray? And when you do you pray with your whole heart, giving attention to what you're doing?" And the peasant said, "Yes, Father, I do, always." And St. Bernard was a little bit skeptical because we all get distracted. So he says, "I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. If you can pray through the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, without being distracted, if you can pray through the whole thing, I will give you my horse." Well, the peasant thought this was great. So he began to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," and so on and so forth. And as he's praying, he got halfway through, and then he says, "Does the bridle come with it?" We get distracted. I think of the Peter, James, and John praying for Jesus when Jesus was in Gethsemane, and Jesus asked them to pray, and they could not even pray for 1 hour. I get it. I get it. Can you pray for an hour without getting distracted? Especially when you're tired like they were? We're easily distracted, and so we need to train ourselves to delight in the Lord. That's the first thing we need to do. And then secondly, because our hearts are willing but our flesh is weak, we need to walk by the Spirit. And that's true of everything in our Christian life. Our heart is willing, but our flesh is weak, so we need to walk by the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And again in Romans 13:14, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." We've talked about how our desires war within us. The fact is, we cannot win that war unless we do walk by the Spirit. Paul said, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." If we don't walk by the Spirit, then we do gratify the desires of the flesh. It's as simple as that. Or as an unknown poet said, he said, "It takes a lot of courage to put things in God's hands." Amen. "It takes a lot of courage to put things in God's hands, to give ourselves completely, our lives, our hopes, our plans, to follow where He leads us and make His will His own. But all it takes is foolishness to go the way alone." When we walk by the Spirit, we surrender our will and our desires to Christ. "Not my will, but Thy will be done. Not my desires, but Your desires." We trust in His promises, and He never fails us. When we walk by the Spirit, we acknowledge that we are unable to do as we ought on our own. And then we appropriate His power, the Holy Spirit's power. And then instead of trying to do it on our own, we allow Christ to work in and through us, to empower us. In other portions of the scripture, this is called abiding in Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches, or walking by faith. But again, the bottom line is this: we cannot overcome our selfish desires without the help of the Holy Spirit. We simply cannot do it. "Apart from me," Jesus said, "you can do nothing." In Him, we can do everything He's called us to do, including walking away from the sometimes awful pull of our selfish desires. Your old self has been crucified. You are born again. You're no longer enslaved. You are free, even free from your own selfish desires. Christ has set you free. Be free. Let me end with this. Again, how our desires can weigh us down and hinder us from our race. So think of an Olympic athlete, a distance runner. Picture him getting ready to run his race. Now, he wants to place well. He wants to run his race well. He's in the Olympics, obviously. He wants to do well. The gun sounds, and all the other racers take off. And our runner, what does he do? He desires the applause of the crowd and the adoration of the crowd, so he stands and waves to them for a minute or two, all his fans. And then he finally takes off. And as he takes off, he gets about halfway around the track, and he smells the hot dogs. And he's thinking, boy, I'm hungry. So he hops the fence and buys a hot dog and eats his hot dog. And then hops the fence and goes on his way again, running the race. He's got a race to run. He gets about 100 meters, and then he thinks to himself, now that I've had this hot dog, I'm kind of thirsty. So he backs up, hops the fence, orders the water, drinks the water, and then hops the fence and goes on his way again to run his race. And after he's ran maybe a lap or so, he notices a very pretty girl in the stands. So he stops and kind of winks at her, and I'm the man, you know. And he gets going again. He runs the race a little bit further, and he sees a $10 bill on the ground, and he stops to pick that up. And then he goes back to running, and then, you know, he notices the sky is really blue today. It's kind of beautiful. So he kind of half runs and half gawks. How well is he going to place? Obviously not very well. What is ironic is that some people, and you and I at some times, some people moan and complain about their rather barren spiritual life when they're unwilling to deny themselves their hot dogs and bottles of water. Isn't that sad? And I say it knowing that I do that time and time again. My deepest desire, without question, the deepest passion that I have in my heart is that God would be glorified. There's nothing in the deepest part of my heart, there's nothing that I want more than that God be glorified. I want everyone everywhere. I know they won't, but I want everyone everywhere to bow before him and give him the glory that is his due. That's who I am in the deepest part of my heart. And I want it passionately. But there are times when the hot dogs smell pretty good, and a bottle of water sounds pretty good, and the praise of men sounds pretty good, and so on, and so on, and so on. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be weighed down by my own desires. I want to run my race in a way that pleases the Lord. We are free. Let's be free. Lord, I thank you that you have indeed set us free. We're not slaves to ourselves anymore. The old person has been crucified. The old self has no power over us. But that old self sure talks to us. And he can tell a good story. He can con us like the best. And frankly, there are many things in the world that are pleasant, many things that are shiny, many things that are just plain cool. You created a wonderful universe and given mankind to create many wonderful things. And many of these things are good in their own place. But Lord, sometimes we get so busy with the stuff that you have made, the stuff that we have made, that we forget about you. And sometimes it's really important things. Sometimes we are so busy ministering to you like Martha that we forget to sit at your feet like Mary. Sometimes it is our family, and family is good. It's one of the greatest gifts you have given us. But sometimes we even place family above you. We weigh ourselves down with our own desires. And just as there are many people in our society, so there are many people in the church who never have enough of whatever it is that they're pursuing. More, more, more. Lord, in the deepest parts of our hearts, we love you, we adore you. We want you to be glorified. Nothing else matters. That's what we want in the deepest part of our heart. Help us, Lord, to pursue what we really want and not what we think we want. Help us to pursue you. In your name we pray. Amen.